everybody, and welcome back to your favorite cartoon podcast that almost has its own name back and brand. This is Knowing Season 3, the artist formerly known as Knowing is Half the Podcast, and I am Ray Stecanus.
By brand, do you mean Gina Polito?
That's 100% of what I mean, yes.
This show is just waiting for Gina to come back.
Look, I know what our people want, and the answer is less us, more Gina.
Mm-hmm. They definitely put up with us.
No, they tolerate us. Yeah. And you know what? I respect them for that.
Thank you for that.
Thank you. But we all know you're here for that great Gina action.
Mm-hmm. I'm Robert Clark Chan.
And we are, first off, we're talking about an episode of Tales from the Crypt Keeper, a show I honestly had forgotten existed. I want to say I didn't know it existed, but I feel like I did deep down that this probably existed, even if I didn't actually know. It seems back in 1994, where we're pulling from here. This is, I mean, we're keeping our theme of scary November shows, the post-Halloween excitement.
Sure.
We've done Inhumanoids. We did a Halloween episode. We're doing Tales from the Crypt Keeper. Probably could have done this in October when it was festive.
Why?
I can't argue with logic like that. We are joined here today. You may have seen him in the show Squish at the Pack Theater third Sunday nights of every month. This is Dean Peters.
Hey, how's it going?
Dean, tell people a little bit at home about yourself.
Well, I'm a Capricorn. Mm. I hate to shave.
Mm. I feel that.
I have perfect vision.
What?
Outrageous.
Yeah, 25/20.
Oh, that's crazy.
Can I have your eyes?
No.
It's worth an ask, you know.
Well, thanks for asking.
You know, I could just start taking. That'd be rude.
Well, yeah, you don't want to be rude about eye removal.
My breasts are down here. Stop staring at my...
Stop staring at my eyes, Bree. I'm excited to do this. This was such a fantastic episode.
Why? How does Tales from the Crypt Keeper, like, how does this go back for you? Where does this come from?
Well, I love Tales from the Crypt.
Sure.
When I was a young child, even if I didn't get it, I'd be like, yeah, great makeup. And I'm talking about the live action series.
Of course,
right now.
The HBO series.
Yes. Which I definitely should not have been allowed to watch.
Probably not.
Yeah, you would have been young as hell.
I was a young child. But I remember watching RoboCop with my dad and being like, hell yeah.
Yeah.
That guy turned into juice.
That's absolutely horrifying. Still today.
Yeah.
Horrifying.
Yeah.
What about the movies? Demon Knight and Bordello of Blood, starring Dennis Miller of Monday Night Football fame and nothing else.
Haven't seen those. Looking forward to watching those.
I can give you a thing. Demon Knight? Yeah. Bordello of Blood? Nah.
Pass?
Nah. Don't need it.
Wow.
And that was before Dennis Miller became creep. You know.
Wait, Dennis Miller, the comedian?
Yes, he is the star of Bordello of Blood, Tales from the Crypt Presents.
Is he like a sarcastic asshole about horror?
Yes.
Oh, well, I don't need to see it now.
Kidding? You could watch any episode of SNL that he's on. Just look at him and know that he's got range. He's exactly the sort of person you want to have helm any project. He's like a Gary Oldman. He could just like slide into any role.
I'm very excited to see Dennis Miller's There Will Be Blood.
That's right. There's got Daniel Day-Lewis. You've got, you know, like you said.
No, I still use Gary Oldman as my
Gary Oldman
for good acting. Yeah.
I use Dustin Hoffman. It's pretty solid. Kenneth Branagh. Yeah. And then Dennis Miller is on that tier. He's right at the bottom of that tier
anymore. So
yeah. Kenneth Branagh, though,
he's fantastic.
Back in the day, yeah, like any high school theater will be like, yeah, we'll be like Kenneth Branagh's the be all end all.
But let's think about high school theater for just a second.
Yeah, no. I'm just saying, like, everybody should go through that phase where they think Kenneth Branagh is the greatest. And
continue with it. Have we seen the Harry Potter movies?
I very much enjoyed Murder on the Orient Express.
I also very much enjoyed that movie as well.
Yeah. I put it on and immediately fell asleep. So
you know what? It does different things for different people. It is.
It can work both as a terse thriller or an ASMR video, and it's fine. And it's fine with both. I think that's absolutely no problem.
Mm-hmm.
This episode was fantastic from top to bottom.
We'll get into that. But you watched this cartoon back when it was new?
No, I didn't. This cartoon came out in 1994.
Okay.
When I would have been 3 years old.
Excellent. Chan, what happened to our youth?
This is why I love Dean. This is why I didn't want him on the goddamn show. I don't need that reminder.
I'm just young and a hip, cool millennial, and I understand all the emojis.
All of them. Oh,
every single one.
I got 7 or 8 I need help with.
Please.
So please.
Just text
I'm on board.
Me.
Yeah.
On WhatsApp.
God. Can you send it to my MySpace? That'll be...
Ooh, woo, maybe not.
Okay, so this episode begins... Chan, we always talk about the intros and the theme songs. Yeah. Did this do it for you?
Not a gut.
Not at all, right?
But I will say that there are some shows that don't need explanation. And frankly, Tales from the Crypt Keeper. Got it.
No, this is a show that shouldn't need explanation, but clearly does, because I spent half of this shit very, very confused. It was, okay,
That's not on the creators of the show.
The show is Tales from the Crypt Keeper. The intro opens with a witch and a warlock fighting each other, and no Crypt Keeper. And then we cut to a house of some kind. Finally, 30 seconds into the intro, we get a Crypt Keeper. And then he says, I'm going to tell scary stories. And I'm like, well, who are these other fucking people? Who is this witch? Who is this? He's called the Vault Keeper.
Yes, old witch and Vault Keeper.
Who are these people? And why do I care? And why are they half the episode?
I mean, I'm sure how it went down was we love Tales from the Crypt. Who doesn't? It's a great show.
This is a new Twilight Zone for the 90s.
Yeah.
Oh, great. Great description.
Plus,
Thank you.
It has a character. Like, in the 80s, we learned that franchises are big, big money.
Correct.
And, like, you can't have a Friday the 13th without a Friday the 13th 2 through 10, because we've got a character. He's got a mask. Boom. Easy. You don't even need to use the same actor. Just keep bringing him back over and over again. Sell that merch.
And when it finally starts getting slow, team him with another monster and make another movie.
Yeah. I mean, honestly,
keep going, everybody.
I don't know if they did that because it was slow or just to keep the attention of 6-year-olds in 1994.
Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and say they did it because it was awesome. Start there.
I'm just saying, like, yeah, so you've got a great character in this Tales from the Crypt. And
do you, though? Is the Crypt Keeper a great character?
It's iconic.
Or do you just love puns?
It's iconic, and you can remember, and, you know, like... It sticks in your brain.
To me, the Crypt Keeper is the equivalent of every local late Saturday night chiller horror, Count Floyd from SCTV.
Yes.
He is that
yes.
for all time.
But he's IP.
All right.
Somebody owns that shit and can turn it into plush dolls.
And like I remember the Crypt Keeper from Tales from the Crypt. Like I remember those parts.
Sure. Yeah.
The individual stories are harder to remember. Like it's like you remember Rod Serling.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I do.
And
I remember a guy with a pig nose doing surgery on a perfectly normal man.
What's the name of that episode?
Rod Serling is the name of that episode.
I just saw that episode too. Shit. I'm trying to plow all the way through Twilight Zone.
I believe the name of that episode is called Game Over.
So it makes sense that they're like, yeah, let's okay, it's base Goosebumps is out and still doing gangbusters at this time. They're like, shit, we've got something. All we had to do is take out the sex and the violence, and any of these episodes can be, the kid version
Which
of it.
Is every cartoon also of the 80s and 90s. This is how we got the RoboCop cartoon. This is how we got the Rambo cartoon.
Exactly.
Let's take out all the violence and the thing that actually makes this what it is and do it for kids.
And
I love it.
One of the things that really sets apart the Crypt Keeper is the dumb puns. And yes, the dumb puns work for 30 seconds and you're like, get the fuck out. I want to see some scary stuff. But somebody who's putting together a kid's cartoon is like, shit, we could just do like half the episode of these dumb puns. All we need are a foil or two. Like, okay, there's the witch who is both... Maiden Mother and Crone. She's the terrible girlfriend, the nagging mother.
I thought she was a mother-in-law type. That's what I got out of it.
When she first came out, I was like, boom, okay, she's his mother. And then I was like, oh no, she's like being real annoying. She's his sister. But then
none of those things happen to be true. In fact, it's weird that it's even a thing because she's in every episode apparently. Because she's in the credits.
Yeah, and so is the Vault Keeper, who is
so he should have known it was her because she's in every episode.
I'm sorry, Ray. Have you not seen a children's cartoon before? Have we not been doing the show for how many years now?
I mean, this is the first children's cartoon I can remember watching, but I have been hit in the head a lot.
Okay, well, that makes a certain amount of sense.
This is a children's cartoon? You guys consider this a children's cartoon?
Absolutely. Absolutely. He so
seemed like a little heavy on the plot progression for, for children.
Well, I did. Here's the deal. There's one gag that really worked for me, and he says, I'm going to scare the pants off of whoever's at the door. Mm-hmm. He sees who's at the door. Mm-hmm. Cut to his pants are around his ankles.
I literally thought that shot, because I was watching and I saw him cut to the shot down there, and I was like, oh my God, did he shit his pants? They're going to show that on a children's cartoon? What the? Oh, pants off. Right. Okay. That makes sense.
I do like that they use the British pants and not like his pants because his underwear fall off.
That's correct.
His knickers.
Yeah, his knickerbockers. And it did. It was in prime dump position, but they decided not to go that route for this children's show.
Yeah. Basically, the whole wraparound, which goes on, it just goes on way too long.
It goes on way too long.
You can tell that it was stretched. Like, yeah, there's
Chan,
just like
this
long
was stretched
bits.
6.5 minutes. Like,
oh, it was really
six and a half minutes for the intro. Oof. And then it's 4.5 minutes on the outro.
Oh yeah, that's what I mean. The whole thing. But yeah, it's 11 minutes. It's half the episode.
I will say this because it was just like a parade of puns. It's 6.5 minutes of nothing but like yeah. scare
conditioner.
But half
of these aren't even puns, really. They're just not even good wordplay. Like they were mostly upsetting.
They don't have to be good wordplay.
Can we hear a little bit of it just for the people at home who made Chan? You love puns. You live in this.
Scare conditioner?
Yes.
Toothpaste? Wart blush? Mascara?
Look, okay, hold on. Wart blush, not a thing. And nobody calls it hair conditioner. It's just conditioner. So hair scare No!
See,
none of that shit works. If you have to make up things to then create the pun, you're already wrong. It has to be based on things that are already in the lexicon. That was upsetting to me.
I mean, we can be upset about scare conditioner, but only if we can also be happy about mascara.
I'm fine with that.
Like,
see,
that's
one works.
That's,
that one's fine. I allow that one in my life.
That's some great writing.
I just
and the whole
number of times that they used scare to replace
everything
a syllable was just,
it's like the scare I breathe.
A weight on my soul.
God, it's upsetting.
I can feel it in the scare tonight. Hold on to your scares.
So Chan, you are Mr. Pun. You are Mr. Defender of puns. Are you, based on that last statement, was this too much for you?
This shit's over the top.
Okay,
oh,
wow.
My God.
Here's the thing.
I'm saying, for you people at home, for Chan to say this really has meaning.
It's too much.
Yeah.
Wow.
This is like me saying, man, that white dude was too dumb.
It's I feel a little bit like Gloria Steinem saying, like, that one woman had it coming to her. and there are definitely women who have earned some measure of retribution, but you don't ever want to hear Gloria Steinem say that.
No, probably not appropriate.
No.
Okay. So
are you the Gloria Steinem of puns?
Yes.
Yeah. Honestly, yeah. I go with that. So in this scene, the witch comes over and she says, "I want to be host of the show." So she ties up the Crypt Keeper and puts makeup on him to
make
him
a makeover.
Makes him do self-care.
For reasons that don't really fully...
Self-care.
This doesn't really get...
All right, now I'm funny. Now it's funny again.
None of it gets justified on any character level, and it really bothered me that they're literally... It was a little bit like Turbo Teen. They're just doing shit for no apparent reason. And I want to give me a tether to reality.
No, I'm pretty sure the whole point is both these other two want his show. And so they go through a variety of, hijinks. Very, very...
Why not just murder him?
Wile E. Coyote-esque. I don't know. Why didn't Wile E. Coyote go to a fucking KFC? Because there's no cartoon otherwise.
Because there's no Roadrunner at KFC, Chan.
Because they got 11 and a half minutes to fill, and by God, they're going to do it.
They're going to do it. So he's tied to this makeup chair. He's been made to look like her in a weird moment.
I was like, what is going to be underneath?
Yeah.
And I was kind of hoping for like a really
like good looking dude.
Yeah,
like,
I assume yes. Yeah, exactly. That would be the obvious go.
Her type like, deal.
Yeah,
okay, that's, it that's works. Fine. It's a choice. You make choices. That's fine. But then he says, "Hey, I forgot to feed my crocodiles.
Yeah.
Can you pull that rope?"
Yeah.
She pulls the rope to a trap door and falls into an actual crocodile pit.
Uh-huh.
And we move on to the cartoon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Guys, no me gusta.
What? I
this upset me.
I think the most upsetting part is we should be able to take care of ourselves and use scare conditioner.
God damn it.
And scare gel, mm-hmm. and, you know, pour clean.
Keep going.
No.
No. No.
Oh, don't tell me no. Scare conditioner's in and pour cleaner's out.
I would
boo urns.
I would say conditioner. Oh. No. Okay. So we get to the meat of the. This is what I've been waiting. I've been literally sitting here for 6+ minutes, just being like, is there an actual point to any of this? Is there a story coming? Is there a thing I can sink my teeth into?
Ooh.
Yeah. And there was, because the name of this episode is Game Over, mm-hmm. and Game Over is the name of the sub-cartoon in the overall cartoon, and I'm sure Chan picked this because of the video game overtones.
That is exactly why
me.
I did it, because I knew that it was going to be some sort of moralizing bullshit.
and
I was
it kind
not
of was, I guess.
I am curious, do you have any recollections of... Oh, no. I'm just wondering if... all of the cartoons were kind of like this. Like, here's a lesson, kids.
Oh, I'm sure they were.
Because it makes sense that it would be. And also, the construction of, you know, a horror anthology, it's usually a bad person does a bad thing and, like, an ironic, you know,
and they
turnaround.
Get punched.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it would be nice if it were just, like, some random shit going on in the rest of the episodes, and this was kind of an anomaly.
But, I mean, as far as this type of thing goes, this story is fine. This game
say,
over story, it's I'm okay with it.
By
it
was, the end of it, I was like, okay, I'm on board.
This it fit the mold. It had a point. It had a beginning, middle, and an end. It made me very happy. And then we went back to 5+ more minutes of nonsense. But we'll
look,
get there.
We just got into the meat of it, and
we got into the good part. I should keep myself happy.
It's the meat in the way that like a McDonald's burger. There's the meat of the burger. It's technically meat, and, you know, it is in the place, it's in between two buns, and that's about all that can be said about it.
It's the meat the same way the hate is in every Chick-fil-A sandwich.
Yeah.
It's just, it's in there, mm-hmm. and you know,
you really wish
analogy.
It weren't.
No, it's a great analogy. I just wish the portions at Chick-fil-A were bigger. That's
more chicken, less hate. That's all I'm hoping for.
More chicken, less hate. Oh my God.
That's their next catchphrase slogan.
Stop the whole cow campaign, Chick-fil-A. And also, please stop hating people that are gay. Why? It doesn't help your food.
No, it really costs you business.
The Chick-fil-A thing is hilarious because I grew up in South Alabama.
Oh gosh.
And every young queer man I knew in high school worked at a Chick-fil-A. Like every single one.
Were they infiltrating the system?
I
or
guess.
Just,
I don't know.
They just didn't want to work on Sundays. Keep it real.
Oh,
you got to go out to those good
that.
Clubs on Saturday night. You know you don't got to work on Sunday. I'm putting it out there. Okay. So our story begins, and they immediately give you the message of the story right off the top. Don't skip school.
Yeah.
Sure.
And it doesn't really retain... basically through the entire episode. It comes around, I guess, but like it stops being about that almost 1 second after they say it.
Yeah.
So the first off, why you put an arcade across from the school that's open during school hours?
Because that is fucking
that's
a
great
smart
that's
businessman
great placement
right there.
Yeah,
yeah, like, apparently, but there's only two people in that arcade at any given time that you know go there to give them business.
Here's the thing, I feel like it's one of those things where you know how you go to prom and everything's perfect. She's beautiful and you're just feeling like on top of the world and you start dancing like, oh, my love, my darling. And it's no one else in the room because it's just the two of you like mashing bits together that you're not allowed to
fucking at prom.
You're like, and you're just
you
slow dancing. And,
no, I didn't go to prom.
Well,
and like,
see?
I've missed out.
There are dozens of other couples who
were
also
prom
around
an
you
orgy?
Feeling exactly the same way, But, like, they're all also like, oh, we're the only people here because we're just, like, focused on zooming in on each other. These two gentlemen are focused on each other. Their names are Vince, and it took me a while.
Yes, it did. Yes, I hear that.
The other dude's name is, the Asian kid's name is fucking Buddy.
Buddy.
Which is a dumbass name.
It's, don't ever name your kid Buddy. That's a hate crime as far as I'm concerned.
Because, yeah, they're just going through like, hey, Buddy.
Buddy.
Like, yeah,
Buddy. Because okay, he says it 9,000 times in this 11-minute cartoon.
And it just starts to sound like, man, dude, just try something else. Like, hey, friendo. Hey, come on, compadre.
Pal.
And then eventually, Pally. Like, oh, his parents named him Buddy.
Is that a common Asian name? I'm not familiar with the
it is
the
not.
Groups. It is not. Oh, interesting.
I will say that I call Egon Buddy like 10 times more than I call him Egon.
Could I say right now, used to.
Yeah.
Used to call him Buddy.
this none of these kids are 13 months old, so.
Which is weird because I've been calling him Vince. So it's really weird that it would work out that way.
I've been calling him Crypty.
God bless America.
Also, I just wanted to take a brief moment to point out that the design of this motherfucking game, is it like a Street Fighter 1 where you have two fucking enormous buttons and you have to punch them?
I just literally wrote here, what is this game? You play apparently a digitized pink guy with no
fingers.
No real shape to him. He's kind of made of lightning, sort of.
This is 1993, man.
Mortal Kombat
get some
was out there.
Graphics, please, and not this pixel bullshit, vector bullshit.
And they reuse the same animation of him shooting two bats like 7 times in a row.
The best part of that is like the Russian doll of how much money they're willing to spend on animation. Like, okay, we'll spend a lot of money on the Crypt Keeper part. We'll spend a little less money on Vince and Buddy, and we're going to spend like $14 on the video game animation.
It was, because then I was just trying to think, like, what is the concept of this game? Like, I know a little bit about video games, I guess.
Like, they couldn't have shown a shooter. Because,
but they kind of did, because he was shooting out of his hands lightning bolts.
I meant, like,
you can't have a gun.
Guns
no, you can't have guns.
Yeah, which is what this game would be.
Yes. And so he's
House
fighting
Dead,
bats
kind of
and, right here, werewolves and zombies.
And it's not a platformer.
No.
It could have been something like a Dragon's Lair. But they're not spending that kind of money.
Yeah.
It looked a little bit like a Ghouls and Ghosts kind of a game.
Maybe it was supposed to be like all-encompassing. Like, that's what I think they were going for. It's just like so many random things in this video game that you could be like, oh, this is any video game.
Yeah, but it also had the graphics of the Atari 2600 game Adventure. It was literally just dots on a screen, basically. Yeah. There was nothing to this whatsoever.
Oh my god! I will say, I will remind me of this when we get to the end of this.
Yes,
okay, yeah.
Okay, so can we have a little bit? I want a little bit of sound. If you could pull me a clip of just of them talking to each other while they're playing the video game, because it seemed very clear that this was recorded by two people who have never played a video game with another human being in their entire lives. That's the end right there. And
We did it.
Shoot him. Buddy, shoot him.
Oh,
get him.
Took him down. Blast him.
I really thought like they were like, you know, heavy petting at one point during the sequence.
This is,
maybe they were.
Yeah, we glossed over the part where I was like, this is a deeply homoerotic tale.
Oh, yes.
Of two gentlemen who, I was saying with the dancing, they're just like, this is just the two of them and no one else. Just all.
I'd like to see this told a different way from, like, other people in the arcade's perspective.
like the janitor in the arcade, like, oh, those kids going to get into some trouble.
They're doing the ghost thing where one of them's behind the other playing games.
Looks like I'm going to need my mop tonight. And the name of the game they're playing is Monster Blast.
Yeah.
Which, if that isn't vaguely homoerotic.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't see how it could be.
I mean, we know what a finger blast is, so Monster Blast is obviously the dude version of that.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah, I got Monster Blast in the closet last night.
Hey,
it was
Mom,
awesome.
Vince is coming over. We're going to Monster Blast. that's fine, kids. You want some cookies?
Dude, your mom sounds rad. My mom would never let me Monster Blast in the house.
G.I. Joe will return after these messages.
At Rent-A-Center, this beautiful 52-inch Sony HD TV is only $39.99 a week.
Cut, cut, Troy, dude. What did we talk about? More showmanship. 52-inch Sony HD TV, $39.99 a week. With no credit checks. And satisfaction guaranteed, brother.
Brother.
Get this 52-inch Sony HD TV, just $39.99 a week. For a limited time, only at Rent-A-Center.
Tear the shirt off and seal the deal.
Now, back to G.I. Joe.
They finally leave.
Let's go to the mall.
They finally leave the arcade, and school is over. And this
Wait a minute, where are you getting Monster Blast in the mall?
This is Alabama.
Hot topic.
Alabama Chan. And also, yes.
Yeah, going in the changing
room. Hiding
rooms.
Behind all the Invader Zim shirts. I'm getting Monster Blast.
To be fair, there's probably an old guy at Spencer's who'd be happy to Monster Blast you.
Oh, you guys going to Monster Blast? Just do it over there by the overpriced bongs and black lights.
And just hide behind the swimsuit posters.
That's right. Hold on, I got some JTT art here.
Oh, man. I would
it's the 90s, everybody.
Some JTT art from Spencer in 1994.
I just remember further back than 1994, going into Spencer's and getting funny feelings looking at like the sheer girth of swimsuit posters that bordered on pornography back yes. before pornography was easily accessible, but you could go over there and like see
basically boobs,
enormous gigantic boobs with this teeny tiny strings. Yeah, that was how he came of age back in the 80s.
I'm gonna go ahead and say that followed throughout the 90s until like 2000s. That okay. was that was like a thing. And here's how I know. Because Girls Gone Wild commercials provided a lot of mystery as to what nipples were when I was a kid. I clearly remember the first time I saw a nipple because I was like, huh, that's not a price tag for this Girls Gone Wild video.
Can I tell you, I was when I was younger and I was out of my own, post-college, and I was out at a bar getting plastered, and their Girls Gone Wild commercials kept coming on the TV at the sports bar. Mm-hmm. So I went home and called the number and ordered the Girls Gone Wild DVDs.
What was it like? I honestly have never like seen one.
Well, first off, they were exactly what you think they are. They're like 30 minutes long. It's mostly just amateur footage of probably people who were they're obviously very, very drunk, or they're just actual like people who like strippers and whatnot, because it escalates as the video goes on. And so it opens with just like probable actual amateurs, and then you get something and you're just like, I don't know, this person's not in on it. And then a porno scene.
I see.
Some sort of amateur style porno scene and then the video's
like
over.
Sex or just someone like showing
just straight up like boning.
Oh, okay.
Like, oh, we got this chick's drunk and she's doing everything. Come on, homie, you gotta record me doing this. And meanwhile it's like fully lit. You know, and it's like a professional set.
There's a boom mic off.
Mic off the top. All
Whoa,
of that.
How
accurate.
Spontaneous.
That is correct, yes.
I was also very disappointed when I actually watched the Girls Gone Wild video. They don't have the same production level as the commercials. I instinctively
knew that that was not going to be money well spent.
Well, this is what killed me about it was I used a credit card I had, and I had them sent to a friend's house because I was living at home at the time.
Sure.
And didn't want that showing up for mom and dad to see.
Right.
So I sent it to a friend's house, and it was like three for like $9.99. I'm like, cool, right. I did it. And then I got the three videos, and I'm like, cool. And then, like, 4 months later, my homeboy, a producer of this show, David Knoll, he says to me, hey, Ray, do you keep ordering these Girls Gone Wild?
Oh.
They set me up as a subscription.
Yeah.
I wasn't checking my credit card statement. Oh. I got 4 months of Girls Gone Wild DVDs sent to my friend. But also, shame on you, David. It took you 4 months of having these DVDs
nope.
in your house
nope,
to
nope.
tell me about it. Is this, nope. on, this is on me, right?
Yes, it is. Okay. 100%.
So I canceled it. 3 weeks go by. They hit me one more time right. and then cancel it yeah, because yeah, that's... Yeah. I can't believe those people are shady.
The Girls Gone Wild people?
What a shock.
Oh, I thought they were good Catholics. I believe
that's
time.
That's the guy who went to prison for like 30 years, right? Because one of the girls was underage or something.
I think so.
He deserves it for taking my money.
I mean, he also owned an island at one point.
Well, who hasn't?
Me?
Oh, everyone, that's right.
99% of people.
That was the golden age of buy a thing and we'll put you on a monthly subscription.
Oh, yes. Where
you're going to get it every month.
Oh, yeah.
It's on you to cancel it. And yeah, I mean, I still have that, whatever it was, like that fear of calling somebody and canceling a thing.
Yes.
I don't know how prevalent it is amongst the youngsters of today.
I am a hip, cool millennial. If you need help with emojis, please contact me.
Yeah, but
on
Twitch. Can I have you call a number and cancel a subscription?
100%.
Okay, yeah.
Chan's got like phone seven... call? Can I text it?
No, got to pick up the phone. This is...
I don't know how that works.
Chan has like a half dozen loot boxes he needs to cancel. This is what he's really getting at right now.
Yeah, I love calling and canceling stuff. It's actually...
Is it a rush?
Oh, yeah. I love being like, no, I don't want it. And then being like, oh, are you sure? And me being like, no. Long beat.
If I had only known you when you were, what, negative 4 years old?
Wait, in 1987?
Sure.
Man, I feel like being so young.
If only a plucky 9-year-old Dean could have canceled my Girls Gone Wild DVDs.
Oh, man, I would have done it for sure.
Here's the thing.
If you had let me call at 9 years old, I would have just been like, hi, yeah, definitely 9 years old. You probably should be sending me these. Let's go ahead and cancel this. Oh, my credit card? Great question. You go ahead and pull that off file. I'm going to hit puberty any second now.
Actually, you know what? Send them to me.
Actually, you know what? Never mind.
Okay. So the kids are now, they go back. There's a really weird scene where the one kid is playing in his bedroom, and then there's like a spooky face at the door, but it's just his friend. It's really the least suspenseful thing we could have seen. It's just his friend coming in through the window for, you know, for monster blasting, I assume.
Yeah.
And hey, let's come over and do homework.
They're playing. No, because they flip a coin over this.
Yeah.
And they go, are we going to do homework or play video games? Flip, homework, turn the coin.
Yeah.
Now we're playing video.
Vince and Buddy's honor was besmirched in that exact moment.
They also saw how I choose my lunches. Okay, heads healthy. Tails, another onion ring burger and cold fries. Flip. Oops, doing burgers again. Guys, that's what I had for lunch today.
They didn't say video games, though. They specifically said homework or games. So naturally, my first thought was like, oh, we're playing Come on a Cracker.
Oh, Jesus Christ, Chan.
I'm pretty sure that's what was happening.
They're playing
for the
playing
youngsters
an urban legend. That's where...
Oh, I know what Come on a Cracker is.
God damn it.
It's where you find the nearest white guy.
Thank you. And finally, a
South
version
Alabama
I can play.
Is real weird.
Well, when you're born in 91.
So we have a suspenseful scene where they go into the closet to get some batteries for his like tote. What is it? Like the Toby?
Yeah, I just want to take a second and point out how this video game works, which is there is a screen and what appears to be a light switch. You just press it left and right, down and down, and there's no omnidirection. There's no other sort
Excuse
of
me,
control.
Tiger Electronics, where they take your favorite video games and make the worst possible version of them that still works in your hands, and you played it when you were 10. Near as I can remember. Chan, you had those, right?
Are you talking about the wind-up ones?
No, I'm talking about like the Double Dragon one, where you could actually see the outlines of the characters on the screen.
Like the Game & Watch style
yes.
graphics?
Yeah. Yes, yeah. Exactly.
I just want to point out, when I was 10 years old, I was ordering Amazon drones.
Oh, so. Lord. Get him out. we get our first suspense. A masked man is in the closet with a mace of all things.
No.
And then, and this is the most suspenseful, least suspenseful moment, because the cliffhanger is he opens the closet, isn't looking, and dude's got a mace.
Right. He's going to club him, murder him to death.
Cut back to, I'm just going to shut the door.
No, it doesn't. It cuts back, and Vince is like, looking over at Buddy.
Oh, yeah. There's a long beat
hey.
Of like, still a conversation when they come back from commercial.
He's just hanging out, and the dude with the mace is like, I can't do anything unless you see me and be scared.
Yeah.
I don't know what I'm supposed to. So then he shuts the door again.
From Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
He just puts a towel over his head.
And it really is. Yeah, it's a bug bladder beast of Trawl. What I appreciate is that that conversation went on through the entirety of the commercial break. So he wasn't just there for a little bit. He was there for 3.5 minutes.
And then he shuts the door, walks away. And I didn't. Was there a noise or something?
He makes noise from the other side of the closet.
Okay. I didn't hear that because
he's like rattling something.
There may have been a baby screaming at the point.
It makes him want to investigate.
Sure. And then he goes and opens the door. And then he sees the dude who's. I guess he still had the mace held over his head.
Yeah.
So I'm guessing he just had the mace over his head. The door got shut. He's like, what do I? I don't know. I can like kick something, I guess. Or I was just like, I'll just like push on the door with my belly, just kind of jiggle it a little bit. But I mean, I can't put my arms down because I'm kind of stuck like this. So maybe I can like scratch my back with the mace.
Everything about this implies Chan's actually done this before. This is a little too close to home, Chan.
Have you not get locked in a closet with the mace stuck over your head so you can't move it at all?
I mean, not this week. So we move forward. He comes out of the closet, and now the kid, Buddy, won't stop playing his great electronic toy game, despite the fact that the room is literally getting destroyed around him.
To be fair, Vince has said not a word. Nothing, no dialogue. He's just staring and ducking occasionally. And, you know, at some point he could be like, hey, Vince. But no, does not bother to do that.
But when Vince finally says, help, Buddy immediately is Johnny on the spot to...
Yes.
Freak out.
He hears the voice of his lover, yes.
That's right.
Grabs the first thing that comes to hand, a hockey stick, and then does what you would do when your friend is being assaulted by a 8-foot-tall guy with a gigantic mace.
Start slapping pucks at him.
Yep, just pat, 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 pat.
And how many pucks
does a man... You have a hockey stick.
How many pucks does a man need by his bedside? Because he has a basket of roughly 5 dozen.
Three.
I get that reference because of YouTube.
Okay, so now we have a mildly scary sequence. I actually thought this worked a little bit, where the monsters are coming out from like places that monsters should not be coming out of, from the doorways, from underneath the bed.
Those are fine.
Under the covers of the bed.
Fine.
And
then one comes out of a goddamn sock drawer.
One comes out of a sock drawer.
No, sir. Not having that.
But that's scary.
The spookiest drawer in the whole dresser, Chan. Like,
Chan, nowhere is safe. That's what you learn right there. You'd think the sock drawer. No.
That's where Buddy keeps his letters to Vince.
all signed and stamped, but never sent.
Dear Vince, it has been a fortnight. Since we played Monster Blast again.
Was Civil War Ghost writing?
I miss
War
you. This battle of social studies class.
Next on PBS, the history of Monster Blaster. Ken Burns presents
video games.
Whoa. I would 100% watch Ken Burns presents video games.
Can't believe it's already not a thing. Start there. So they run outside through the window. They escape into the park, and there's a great pun, great used to mean not great, where he says, there's bats. And he goes, yes, we're in a baseball field.
Yeah. Bat! Yeah, good idea. No, bad bat.
Bad bats.
Bad bat.
Bad bat.
I mean, how can we improve upon... perfection is my only question.
And to your point earlier, if you have a hockey stick, your first thought should be beat the dude with the hockey stick, not hit him with the 5 dozen pucks that I keep at my bedside inexplicably. Mm-hmm. Here at the same time, if you have a baseball bat and you're being swarmed down on by giant
bats, real quick.
Buddy!
That was the point when I realized that was a kid's name.
It took me longer than that. And
in
I'm
all
not
caps,
ashamed
I
to
have,
admit it.
Is that his name?
I thought it was weird he kept calling him that, but it literally took me until the Grim Reaper shows up. It took me that long to realize that was his actual name.
Wow.
That no, I'm real Chan, I'm real dumb.
I am just now realizing that his name is
funny. You know how old I was when I realized this? 2 minutes ago.
Here's the thing. When I played Dungeons & Dragons, what I used to do, less so now, but still a little bit, I double check.
Yes.
When I come up with a name for the character, I yell it real loud as if we're in the middle of a fracas, a melee with hobgoblins, and it has to be a name that sounds awesome when yelled at.
What are some examples of these names?
Like Ardos, something like that. Like,
I'll go with that.
Juniper is like a terrible that name for a D&D character. So I immediately recognized when he was all Buddy. I was like, oh yeah, that's somebody calling out the somebody's name in Extremis. That is that's a terrible name.
It is a terrible name.
I apologize for everybody named Buddy.
If you're listening to the show and your name is Buddy,
is a great name
for a dog.
For a dog. Or a bong.
I guess if your name is Buddy, why haven't you changed it yet?
Of course I have a bong. I'm young.
No, a bong named Buddy.
I mean, no. It's legal now, Chan. Get with the times.
Yeah, dude, come on, bro. No, my.
Why did you just do the hippie fingers?
Of course I do hippie fingers when I talk about cannabis, dude. No, my bong's name is Ollie, like Oliver Queen, because it's green and yellow, like the arrow.
Yikes.
So they find a
comic
giant
book arrow
slug.
Or a CW arrow?
Yes.
Mm.
No, definitely the comic book arrow.
Guys, this is awesome.
I like the Kevin Smith one. The Kevin Smith arrow series. If you haven't read it, you should look into it. You won't believe what happens.
It ain't no Hawkeye.
G.I. Joe will return after these messages.
Ready for a scare? You must meet Crypt Keeper.
Greetings, Frank Fang.
Crypt Keeper, come back and meet my friend.
Hello, Foiled and Jewel.
Why don't you offer your fiends something cold and wet? Yes, I think that's exactly what our little fiends need. Crypt Keeper, you're the host with the most. The most ranting flesh, that is. 12-inch talking Crypt Keeper from Ace.
Now, back to G.I. Joe.
Moving forward, there's a series of monsters now that start chasing them around after they defeat the bats by hitting baseballs at them. Again, hit them with the bats. Like, I'm with you, Chan. Like, just, you have a melee weapon, use it.
Although I will say this, the fact that they are so good that they're hitting screaming bats flying through the air with balls that have been pitched.
Yeah.
I tell you what, video games weren't all bad for them.
No.
They got real coordinated. The hand-eye coordination is fucking spot on.
They should be playing sports and getting scholarships.
Yeah. No, they should be playing the Harlem Globetrotters version of baseball.
Yes. Because
that shit's crazy difficult.
With Harlem Globetrotters.
Sweet church.
So now we have in succession a giant slug, a werewolf. They escape in the sewers. They get chased by zombies. Mm. Most of this is mostly forgettable and slow.
Mm. Yeah.
Because we are stretching right now.
Oh, yeah.
And then there's a really good like meta moment. Chan, I'm sure you know what I'm talking about, where they talk about why is all this happening to us? Are we characters in some morality tale? Which I thought was meta and hip and cool, and they came to the obvious conclusion.
I think this is some kind of punishment. For playing video games or because we're always skipping school. Both, man. It's all we ever do. We don't care about anything else. Except video games. Nah.
And they just leave it at the floor like that, and I appreciated that. Because that is not the lesson to learn here. Video games are your friend.
Yeah.
I will say at this point, I was certain that it was just going to end as a moralizing tale, and I was very disappointed. By the end of the story, I was like, okay, that's fine.
It comes around again.
Yeah.
You feel like you know where it's going, and then they'll escape and learn their better ways.
Right, because this feels...
That's not what Tales from the Crypt was all about, though.
Right, exactly. Yeah, it'd be like a Twilight Zone where like everything ended happily every time.
And they were fine.
You could do that every once in a while, but I mean, most of the time, it's... fuck you for being alive.
You ever seen the last episode of the first season of Twilight Zone?
Which one is it?
It's the one about the writer who writes these characters and then they exist. And then when he wants to kill the characters, he throws like the little scraps of little scraps of paper that he writes into the fire. And then that character stops existing.
Mm-hmm.
It might be my favorite meta moment of anything I've ever seen. Because at the very end, like they do in Twilight Zone, Rod Serling comes out and he's sitting there. And he starts doing the monologue, and the character that writes all the characters goes, "Rod, what are you doing?" He goes, I'm finishing, I'm talking about what's happening. And he walks over and he throws Rod Serling in the fire, And then, like, I was just like, ah, what? Ah, so meta. Like, it
I appreciate
made me so
that.
Happy.
See, dude. Yeah. And we get an almost identical moment here.
Yeah.
Where they finally fall down, inexplicably fall down a hole in the sewer. Even though they were running fine, they just fall down a hole and they get trapped in a room in the sewer.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, again, it makes sense in context, in hindsight. The Grim Reaper shows up, who is the big final boss of the game they were playing of Monster Blast. And the Grim Reaper zaps Buddy, kills him,
yep.
Zaps Vince. Vince has a realization, oh shit, if we're getting zapped, that means we're a video game. Whoa!
And then it pulls back, and it's crazy aliens playing a video game.
Gronk and Bork, who are missing school.
Attack of the Bork. Heinous Humans is the name Attack of their game.
And I asked a question earlier, what the fuck game is this the humans were playing? What the fuck game is this that the aliens are playing? It involves them failing for about 5 levels to kill the humans, and then finally getting them trapped in a room, and then just straight up one button killing them? This isn't a fun game to play. Alien video games suck.
I feel like the combo to swing that scythe was some crazy...
Is that right?
Fireball, uppercut, you know,
maybe it was
reverse.
One of those narrative games that you have to weave the story to get it in a certain direction. A little Until Dawn, if you will. I'm fine with that. You know what? I take it all back. This game is great.
And then it ends with like them pulling back and then like a monster hand like reaching in.
Yeah.
The way this should have ended is it should have been that polygon hand from the original game reaching in.
See?
And like pull back, and it's the shitty animated Monster Blast video game characters playing.
Mm.
Full circle.
And go full Inception.
That would be so good.
Yeah.
Why didn't Christopher Nolan direct this episode of
guys,
Tales from the Crypt Keeper?
It sounds like we need a fan edit. I don't have the time. Okay.
But yeah, as a piece, like, okay, yeah, that's not so bad.
I liked it. Honestly, like, this is fine. For what it is, especially, like, the story's fine. It has a moral. It has a point. It surprised me at the end.
Yep.
And it went in a fun direction, and it made me happy. And then we go back to the Crypt Keeper section.
Yes.
And I just had to write, just to open this, and maybe you could play a little bit of just the top of this Crypt Keeper, Act 3. And I just asked this one question, but go ahead and play this first.
So you see, skipping school is not totally ghoul. You may get static.
Are these even puns at this point? Skipping school isn't ghoul?
Like, cool.
No, I get cool. I understand what he's going for, Chan. Does it even make sense as a pun? I started getting really angry at this moment because I just seen something I enjoyed. And the first thing immediately afterwards is not even trying anymore with the dialogue.
Look, there's levels of puns. And this exists at the basis level of them. They're going for sheer quantity over quality, which is a choice you can make.
Okay, that's fine.
I don't agree with it myself, but yeah, I could. You know, it is a valid choice.
But you are like you're like a wine connoisseur of puns,
unquestionably.
Like,
yes,
like, I've seen you do paragraphs just to get to a pun.
Absolutely.
But sometimes all you need is a little cicate, which is skipping school's not ghoul.
I guess, but you
should always feel a little bit bad when you're drinking that tecate, though, is the thing.
You competed in Punderdome. You defend skipping school isn't ghoul. I'm going to die on this hill, Chan. This is the worst moment of my life.
It is technically a pun, so there you go.
It's technically a pun, the same way Brett Kavanaugh is technically a Supreme Court justice.
Motherfucker getting paid, motherfucking passing down judgments. Awful, Yeesh. Awful judgments.
Yes. Sorry I brought it up.
Wow.
We have another elongated, extra long, unnecessary scene where now the warlock dude, the vault master, is that his name? Vault
yep.
keeper. Vault keeper shows up. I don't know what he's a keep, what vault he's a keeper of. He just seems like some shitty warlock to me. And now there's a whole deal where he's now kidnapped the Crypt Keeper, and he's going to put his after he's been turned into a frog inexplicably by the witch from the bottom of the crocodile pit.
Mm-hmm.
It's getting convoluted, folks. And then he's going to get turned. His brain is going to go into that of a chicken, but the chicken has the brain of a cow in it. And the Crypt Keeper says, "I don't want to do this." And then he starts getting zapped back and forth into a human and then a frog. And then they start zapping each other back and forth.
Yeah, he outsmarts him and gets him to turn him back into a human. So, again, this is all basic Merry Melodies business.
No, Merry Melodies had a point. Merry Melodies had a base reality they were at least riffing on.
But Ray, this had a point. Skipping school's not cool.
Get the fuck out. If I could, I would end the episode right here. okay, and now all of a sudden there's a big thing with the witch and the vault keeper are fighting each other and changing back and forth into different monstrosities, and the crypt keeper just walks away and hails a cab and packs up. What the fuck is happening at this point in the cartoon?
This was a straight ripoff of a cartoon. Someone just posted it random on Facebook a couple weeks ago, and I watched it. I was like, oh, right, yeah, this was a fun one where Bugs Bunny goes to Transylvania. And there's a Dracula-type character who's trying to, you know, suck his blood or whatever. Sure. And Bugs gets a book about magic and realizes you can say abracadabra or hocus pocus. And those are magic words. So the vampire shows up. He's going to, you know, like beat the crap out of him and murder him and suck all his blood. And he goes, abracadabra. He turns into a bat. And then he goes, hocus pocus. He turns into a human. And, you know, so like the vampire, like, picks up a big old rock. And he's like, abracadabra. It turns into a little bat and gets smushed. And then he starts messing around. He's like, abracapocus, hocus cadabra. And just keeps fucking with the dude until the two-headed vulture lady comes. She's thirsty. She hungry for a man. And the vampire ends up getting chased off by this little two-headed harpy. And it's a delightful little, it's the last Chuck Jones directed cartoon.
Flat out wonderful. That cartoon sounds amazing.
And this is a direct pull from that.
It's like a pull from that by people who like don't understand anything about the world.
A pull from people who have precious little money to spend on animation.
They spent all their money on that Monster Blast animation.
It's like when the coal miners got trapped down in the coal mine for like months on end, and then you brought them out and then asked them to make a funny animated cartoon bit. They're just not tethered to reality is what I'm saying. They just don't understand things. Because then the Crypt Keeper hails a cab to take the show on the road, and then the driver of the cab is the Vault Keeper, and then the witch is following them.
Hold on.
To the scare port and step on it. I'm determined to find a place where I can tell my tenant.
I just want
to... Determined is fine.
I like it.
I'm fine with that. That's not...
There's nothing worse than scare port traffic, am I right, fellas?
Especially around... Thanks.
Screaming?
Graving.
Oh, thanks, Graving. That's good.
I got nothing. but there's a really weird moment, I guess. And we're almost done, but there's a really weird moment where the Vault Keeper and the witch are like hanging on at the same broom and flying together, and they're just like, it's my show. And I'm like, the camera's on you right now. It is your show, as far as anybody should be concerned. Keep the cameraman's right there. Just abduct him.
I mean, it's not Tales from the Old Witch or Tales from the Vault Keeper, and that's the problem there, is you want to... Basically, they're pissed because their agent didn't negotiate well enough to get them top billing.
Do you think they did this whole Vault Keeper and Witch storyline hoping that they would get enough popularity that they didn't have to pay for the Crypt Keeper intellectual property to keep this cartoon going? That's my thought. If we can like feature them heavily enough, the kids will like them.
Can I say right now, there's a thing I learned in television writing, not that I've done a ton of it, but I'm aware of this idea that when you get to write an episode of a TV show, one that's been going on for a while, it behooves you to create a character in that episode. So that way, if you can make that character strong enough or have a big enough point of view or whatever, if you can make that character somebody worth writing, every time that character that you created for that episode comes back in somebody else's episode, you get a check. Also, if you come back the next season to write that show, you want to use your same character again so you can double bank on it. And so you'll often see these same... this is how I assume Q keeps showing up in Star Trek The Next Generation once a season. It's because the dude invented Q, and he's like, I'm going to keep fucking using Q. Why don't you guys use Q? I want more money. And so I assume that whoever wrote this created these two characters hoping it would become a thing.
Yeah.
And now I can start getting big checks from Witchy and Vault Master dude. Like, fuck him. They're awful. These are bad characters who have a very one-dimensional point of view, and I'm not even clear of their relationships. I'm not clear of their desires, other than we're on a show reading lines on a show. Mm. In other words, every performance I've ever given. If you've seen me act.
I try not to.
I mean, I wouldn't.
I mean, I'd come check you out.
Thank you. I'll send you a bunch of links.
Oh, please send them to me exclusively on Snapchat, which is the only social media that hot young millennials use. Ooh, are you young? Are you a millennial?
I am neither. Guys, this is the most upsetting guest you've ever booked, Chan.
Oh, I have to go enjoy my youth. Thank you so much for having
me. Dean, thank you so much for coming on the show. That literally the end of the show happens with them still chasing him and him being like, I guess the show's over. Bye.
It does make me want to see the next show because I want to see where this goes. I want to know more about Vault Master and the old witch.
You'd be the only person only watching the Vault Master part, skipping past the morality play in the middle to get to more puns.
I just think they're great.
Keeper continuity.
I think they're just great characters.
God fucking damn it. This might be the one that kills me, folks.
Please hashtag make Dean be on this show every week.
Guys, we're doing a spinoff show. Only Tales from the Crypt Keeper and only the segments involving the witch and the vault. Fucking Vault Dweller. I don't know what the fuck his name is.
Oh, that's why you're so pissed at these characters. Because you're like, I'm the Crypt Keeper, Chan's the Vault Keeper, Gina's the old witch, and I can't escape them. It's just on my jock forever and ever.
Hoisted by your own scutard.
Fuck off. I would actually argue it's the other way. You're the Crypt Keeper and you can't get rid of me and Gina. Because I want to be here.
Wait, does that make me Buddy? Why is my name so dumb? Yeah,
Buddy. Dude. Buddy. Hey, Buddy. Buddy.
Buddy.
Buddy, flick that. Buddy. Buddy, touch that. Ooh. Buddy, push that button.
Monster
Buddy,
bless
flip
me,
that
Vince.
Switch. God bless America. Dean, do you have any social media you want the people at home to know about?
Please follow me on Instagram at Gerard Peters Comedy and Twitter at Bacon Lad Strikes. And add me on Facebook. I'll add you. I want more friends.
And come to the PAC Theater.
Oh, come to the PAC Theater always.
For?
Just any show. Squish.
I was trying to mean
Sunday.
Your show in particular, but I mean any show is good.
Come to Squish every third Sunday. Guys, come to Bananas every other
hold
second
on. You
Sunday.
You should definitely go see Pillow Monster. The third Sunday of every month.
Yeah, definitely go see Squish on third Sunday.
Skip Squish. You don't need to see them.
Yeah, apparently Squish sucks, and we should just not see it.
Third Sunday.
From what I hear, there are plenty of other good shows.
On the sixth Sunday of every month.
And Chan, what's Sarah's show? Do people want to come see Sarah's show, too?
Yes, also. Moonshot, first
Sunday.
There you
go. I forgot the name of Wednesday. Guys, I'm the only person in Los Angeles who doesn't have a show at the PAC Theater, so don't come see me at the PAC Theater, because maybe I'll be there in the audience.
Come see Ray's open mic every Monday at 11 p.m. I'm going to make him run this open mic.
No, just keep playing Octopath Traveler for the Nintendo Switch. Look for my name in the credits should you beat the main storyline with your chosen character. And maybe, I don't know, sometime in the distant future, you'll play the next game I'm working on. That would be great, everybody. Keep me employed. Thank you.
Thank you guys for having me.
And thank you, Dean, for being a part of this, even though you've made me very mad several times. And did it on purpose.
Yes, I did.
Social media for the show, facebook.com/knowingishalfthepodcast, patreon.com/knowingishalfthepodcast. For $5 a month, we have a super secret vault. Solar Man is about to enter the super secret vault. wonderful suggestion. Boy, that was a show, Chan, a failed pilot.
That was definitely a thing that took 22 minutes.
It definitely was. And for $5 a month, you can get access to every single show in our super secret vault, and that's over 40-plus episodes of cartoons that we watched. Also, G.I. Joe, Find Your Fate, Choose Your Own Adventure books, interviews with Buzz Dixon, and just extra little snippets that didn't make other shows. Just fun. It's just fun stuff. There's so much content in there, Chan. You'd be a fool not to join.
You would be a fool.
You would be a ghoul not to join. Did I do it right?
You did it right.
That was I'm so angry at myself now.
Maybe don't scare so much when you try and plug.
Wait, what?
Get back here! Get back here! No, I think you're choosing the right moment to run away. You can also hit us up on Twitter at G.I. Joe Podcast, or individually, I'm at Almighty Ray.
At 999.
If you don't know by now, you're not following Chan anyway.
You'll never do it.
You'll never. And tune in next week when we're gonna start doing, it's now going to be December soon, so we should probably wait a month to do all our Christmas stuff, right? Is that how we do things on this show?
Yes, it is.
And coming next year in 2019, Gina's returning, and we're doing Series 2 G.I. Joe The Deke episodes, because we hate ourselves.
Yeah.
So until next week, you guys got a pun for this? Bye.
Scarily not.
Oh, God damn it.
That was good.
Hi, I'm Kevin Goatee.
Hey, I'm Kevin Israel.
We host Gutting the Sacred Cow, the best and most unique movie debate podcast out there. Why?
Because we invite our guests to pick a film that they find overrated or hate and try to convince us to see their argument.
They must pick a film that is a financial success, widely beloved, or critically acclaimed.
That's right. Some of the films our guests have tried to eviscerate, Raiders of the Lost Ark, Pulp Fiction, Ghostbusters? You can find us on all podcast platforms like Apple, Google, Spotify, and more. And if you want to watch our smiling faces, we're also on YouTube.
GuttingTheSacredCow.com is where you find all of our information. And we look forward to our guests infuriating you when they attack your favorite films.